My brothers and sisters, I have enjoyed these few moments together. I don't know when I come here and don't. The reason being that number one, the presidents that I meet here seem to reflect the spirit of the school. I had gotten a call to come up to Benton Harbor to preach. Now, most of you know that Benton Harbor is no peach in which to preach. You're too late, but you be quiet. And I stood up to preach, and I looked out over the audience, and your president and his wife had turned aside from the temple. And they came down there to worship with us. I never forgot that. And I have found that his spirit matches his actions. Glad you got back here before I left, or I would have accused you of staying until I left. Now I'm going to preach. Amen. I would like to thank those faculty, and you know them all, who in your absence exhibited your spirit, Mr. President. Had you not gotten back, I would have understood that. But with the hospitality extended me by these young people who have taken such good care of this 86-year-old bodily frame, it reflects your spirit, and may God bless you. Now let's go to work. Let's do what I came here to do. My brothers and sisters, my text is an old one, but you will understand why I'm going to use it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, then believe also in me, in my Father's house. The universe is his house. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you now. I want you to remember that I'm leaving now, but not forever. I will come again. Not just to be seen, but I'd like to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be. That's what I want to preach about. Why would the Lord go to the trouble to raise up a worldwide church dedicated to the proposition that he's coming again to receive his own unto himself? Why would he do that? Well, I think I know, and that's why I'm here. I think you ought to know. Amen. The reason that he's got to come back here is things have gone wrong down here on a planet that he created to be inhabited by man. My God, man. When I think about a man, I think about the image of the Creator. Why would the Creator need an image? Answer, he didn't. I thought I'd tell you that before we began to feel important. God didn't need you. You need God. The Creator and Sustainer of all life. We need Him every hour. And I like to sing the song that the President of the Union and I love so much, and he can sing, but I hum when he sings. Why would he make the earth? He created it to be inhabited. That simple. With whom and what intelligences would he inhabit the earth? Man and woman. Well, what's so important to God about a man that he would make him? I got a better question than that. What is so important about angels that he would make them? I've got a better question than that. God was not lonely. Therefore, he made angels. Nor was he lonely that he needed us. Leave the angels alone because we are no angels. We're better than most of them that circulate down here. You know something? With you sitting there looking at me so quiet, I began to think I was in a Catholic church. You finally redeemed yourself. I'm going to preach now. Why would he make a man? Let's go right at it. In the image of God, created he him? But why? He wasn't lonely. He had the angels by the millions on a thousand worlds. Why did he make you? It is a question that you must learn to answer without giggling, because you are serious business. Well, I did a little meditating and I came up with this. He didn't make man because he was lonely. Gabriel and his crowd took care of such things as loneliness. He didn't do it because he needed additional messengers and would need those messengers to carry a message for him someday. For he had angel messengers who could go faster than these slow pokes that sit in this room. Why then did he make you? And I found the answer. Thank God before I died, I know why God made man. And I came here to inform you before you got your degree and may the Lord help you to get it, because I saw I saw a couple of people slip out of here, and I understood their problem. Well, I don't have that problem. All I got to do is sit here and explain the Lord to you. Oh, by the way, that's the best definition of a preacher. Why should I go to church? To hear preaching. Why does he need a preacher? He got himself a preacher to deal with the creature. That takes a little time. You see, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But why did he say, let us make man? Not out of curiosity, I can tell you that now. Because Jehovah's imagination could take care of all curiosity. Work with that half the night. Well, I know where I am, so I've got to think. I've got to outthink you for the next 35 minutes or 40. All right, back to the angels. Why weren't the angels adequate for the divine purpose? Answer. God wanted somebody peculiarly fashioned not to duplicate him, but to imitate him. And if you wonder why you were born, I just told you. Jehovah didn't want a duplicator. He wanted an imitator. And he fashioned you in your mother's womb to do nothing but replicate by duplication the God that made him, and to bring pride to the heart of the Maker, which is why you hesitate before you sin. Go get that one on the tape. That's why. And there's a little thing up in the frontal section of your brain, and it's put up there because the hardest bone in the head is right up there to protect this revelation. I made man so that man could represent me in word, in thought, in deed. In short, I want some more company. But this creature that I make will be different from all the others in the image of God created he them, male and female. Therefore, we sit before him tonight to worship him. Now, God is being misrepresented. Creflo Dollar. I'm not watching out. I came to clean house. I was watching Creflo yesterday. And Creflo said the same thing that a dozen other human beings are saying, which is why this school is here. Are you asleep? I repeat. This school is not like most educational institutions. For the reason that Jehovah wanted a school that would actually school the unschooled. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? You'll appreciate being around here much more after this sermon. You see, Jehovah has messages, saving messages, to communicate to human beings. And he made human beings to communicate those communications. Why didn't he tell the angels do it? I'll tell you frankly, I'm chicken. If Gabriel showed up, now don't you not look so sophisticated? You would too. If an angel showed up and woke you up and you looked at that angel, are you telling me you would say, "Welcome, angel"? If you say that, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. Your first impulse would be to run. That's where God made man. You better think about that. Why are you not only on earth, but here? You're here as one of God's communicants, a mouthpiece for Jehovah. He knew what angels would do. And he laid a plan to redeem the men that would be ruined by angels. And set up, boy, this campus is on the way. Just excuse me, but I'm proud of this place. And it's getting even better and better. But back to the theme. God put man here to represent him in the image of God. Created he him, male and female created he them. He already had angels. He wanted somebody. You got that? Some human body with a human brain to especially represent him on the planet. And that's why the Lord God man made man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became. Therefore, you are. Thank you. Got a few bright students in here. Now, I had to get you here to take care of Pastor Jakes. Creflo. And a bunch of white Creflos. They come in all shades. These men have a problem. Their problem is that money is guaranteed if you're living right. That's doctrine number one. If that be so, poor Job lost all his money. And it's not funny. But who's flying in their own jets now? And where is the money coming from? And how are they getting it from the people? I'm going to start right there on the ground floor. They're getting it from the people by telling the people that if you serve the Lord, you're not supposed to be poor. Now, if I were born deaf and dumb, and I'm neither, especially not dumb. Well, my grades, you'll go check them out, son. You read it, my postcard, it says, "Amazing Grace." At least woke up one deacon was about to go to sleep there, but he's awake now. Now, why is there something wrong with that doctrine? Does not the Bible say, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house"? Then what's wrong with being rich? Nothing. So the problem is not being rich. The problem is making riches a standard of divine favor. Now, see, somebody's got to tell you that, because you got to meet that the moment you hit the streets. Okay, now let's deal with it. If that be true, Peter crucified upside down, dead broke. See, that's why you come to an Adventist college, we tell you all about it. See, Peter was dead broke and hanging with his feet up in the air. But I sure want to go where Peter goes in the resurrection. What do you say? But wait. Doesn't the Bible say, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse"? Yes. "That there may be meat in my house"? Yes. "Proving I have wits," you know, and the rest of it, we know it from childhood. But what some people forget is, the poor will you have with you. Finish it. Come on, you're collegian. The poor you shall have with you. Well, if everybody's can get rich, then where are the poor coming from that ye shall have with you? Hadn't thought about that. And here's something else you hadn't thought about. While these boys are painting this glowing picture, even in church, if you say, "I tithe in order that I may prosper." Honey, before you lose your money, listen to me. You don't tithe to be prosperous. God would be unjust to make some people rich, some people poor, just so that some people rich will not be poor. Poor you. Then tell me, Cleveland, quickly, because you've got seven other things to tell them. Thank you. Tell them that if they are rich, it is so that they may share their benevolence with those who are less fortunate. Amen. The only reason you've got it and the other man doesn't have it is to test your character. But that's not what you hear on Sunday morning. White and black false prophets. I hesitate to tell you this, but you may never be rich. look at me. I've been in the world 86 years, and I can barely spell rich. But you know, there's something you need to carry with you. I can't spell it, but I am rich. Rich in joy. Yes. Have you ever noticed half the time you see me smiling? Or if I come up to shake your hand, I'll smile so that you can get rid of your miserable face, okay? I want to brighten the landscape. You see, joy does not depend on money. No, you interrupted my speech. Joy does not depend on money, honey. Now you're supposed to say, and may I add, it's a good thing it doesn't. That's another one. All right. So there is a religion competing with true religion right now. One is a religion that says that you're just supposed to be rich, wealthy, and you're not supposed to have any needs. Now, we know that's wrong because Jesus was nobody's center. Are you waking up? Because Jesus was nobody's sinner. He came as a carpenter's son. Huh? Said, birds have nests. Huh? But I don't have anywhere to lay my head. If it was a sin to be rich, Christ was one of the biggest sinners that ever walked the earth. He had to borrow a donkey. He didn't have taxi fare. Did you hear me? So don't go out of here determined that one day I'm going to have me a jet, have me a Rolls Royce, and I'm going to, I'm going to do a lot of benevolent things, but I do those benevolent things to get more riches and hallelujah. No. Jesus had to borrow a taxi to ride through Jerusalem. He could have done better than that, couldn't he? Why, Jesus on a donkey? God on a donkey. Then why do you pay tithe if not to get rich? Answer, that there may be meat in my house, that they may add to my campus, so that the uneducated can be educated. But don't bet on you dying rich. Most people on the earth don't. How do I know? I've been around the world. And I've seen poverty that would make you cry. Lord, why don't you give him something to eat? Answer, that's what I put you here for. Yes. Well, Lord, why must I give him something to eat? Answer, unselfishness. I can't take anybody to heaven selfish. They would be tearing down. I want to thank you for coming. Boy, you're quick. You must be an A student. He figured that out with his Bible closed. Tell your teacher I said give you A. I don't even know your name, but you're worthy. All right, let's go back. Why are good people, tithe-paying people, sometimes poor people. Answer! Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And share your meat with those who have not to eat. And it's that sharing, sharing, caring, sharing that'll get you out of this planet one of these days. Don't you forget that. Okay. I'm not going to call any other names, or you'll call me prejudiced. But I know all of those crooks. I know them. I meet them. I have debated them. And one question they never answer: why was Jesus poor? Their mouths clamped shut. And one of them will say, well, and I say, well is a hole in the ground. Why did Jesus ride through Jerusalem on a borrowed taxi cab? A donkey for your, why did he ride on a donkey? Lord, couldn't you do better than that? You got angels with wings. No, I prefer to go this way so that the very poorest human being on the face of the earth will not feel shut out of the kingdom of God. Say amen in this house. Amen. Okay, I've got to hurry now. We'll move to two other quick things. And yet, the Christian is rich. So the question comes, what is true riches? Riches are a sense of well-being, whether or not I can pay my rent. Now, see, you're slow, and we were trying to keep going. Now get this. There have been times when I've had to say, I will double my rent next month. I'm a commandment keeper. Then why can't I give it all right here? Have you ever heard of a test? Of course you have. Some of y'all about to be tested right now in these classes. So then, what is the reason for a test? A test comes to tighten your muscles for the next scrap with Lucifer. Did you hear what the old man said? The Lord lets you be tested now, because then, that's after a while, you will need no test. You will have passed. Sun, moon, stars, gates of pearl, straits of gold. Talk to me in this house. You will have passed the test when all of the rest are in a mess. Now, I'm going to let you go, because this is an educational institution. And though my sermon is highly educational, I'm going to abort it for the sake of your study tonight. Let me close with this. I don't know why you don't know how happy I am. Do you know what happiness is? Joy. You know what joy is? It is the imbulance that emanates from the heart of the Creator to the heart of the creature. and gives him joy in place of sorrow. Love that casts out fear. Son, oh my God, I feel like preaching. I finally got an amen in the balcony. All right. Let's quit while I'm ahead. Okay. But back to this. How is it that just 4 weeks ago, I was flat on my back. Both of my kidneys had stopped functioning on an airplane. Adventist doctor, I love these Adventist doctors. Adventist doctor got my kidneys going. In about 4 weeks, I could go home. I thought, when I got home, I collapsed. This was just 2.5 weeks ago. I collapsed right in front of the front door. And they had to put me back in the hospital, and back in the ambulance, and get me back to the hospital to get my lungs working. And while lying there, I said, Lord, what's next? You know what the Lord said? He said, don't worry about it. You'll be up at Andrews in a couple of weeks. Amen. Right. Amen. You were on my mind. Yes. But let me tell you why. Because you see, I had gotten my terminal degree from you. But I did not think you knew it. So I called Steve over to my bedside, Steve Norman. I said, go up there and tell my people to look at the records. I'm an alumnus of Andrews. And I want them to know it. Steve did it and came back. And that's what the celebrate was all about today. You know, everybody doing the holy dance. Because old Cleveland had done made it through, you know. So I get back to the hotel. And both...